Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They went from Zaragoza to Wigan. Yeah, first non-British players for Wigan.
Happy Such birthday, Aaron. You'll never guess who Wigan have signed. Yeah.
One, two, three into the four, reminding you why you love football at the door. Ready to make an entrance, so back on up, because you know we're about to rip shit up. And how do you know that? Well, this is now officially an award-winning podcast, romping home ahead of Righty's House and Football Ramble to win the Pod Bible Listener's Choice Award.
Thank you.
2023, sports and leisure. I don't like the fact it says leisure. Yeah. Why can't it just be sports podcasts
for a leisure podcast?
Leisure. When you've told people, have you mentioned leisure? Because I've not.
No.
I've just been like, sports podcast of the year. Yeah.
So it does mean a lot. And thanks to everyone who voted, because it comes from the audience. And it's very important that it comes from you. I mean, we've had critical awards before and they're great. But for people who listen to it every week and who reply to it and keep us going, really, and, you know, the two-way relationship we've built with the audience has become very important to us, and that has all been part of the awards. So, but back to the lecture at hand, I said. Ooh. Perfection is perfective. Perfection. Perfection is perfected.
I'm learning.
You could have finished it off, so I'm going to let you understand. If this is your first episode, then welcome. Today is our first actual record of 2024. The ones we pre-recorded before Christmas were so seamlessly timeless that my own father last Thursday texted me and said, "How's the cold?" And I thought, what? What? Time of the day. Maybe some jazz cigarettes have been... We are realer than Real Deal Holyfield, and channeling the kings of the motherfucking West Coast, baby. With me today, as we bounce around in our coupe, are Mundial co-founder Seb Sizzurp White, Mundial associate editor Prince Asad Raza. But what was that rapper you were on about before with the hole in his dick?
Oh, Lil Dicky.
Asad Lil Dicky Raza. And next to him, not either side of him, Tommy D's Nuts Stewart.
Hell yeah.
We are 4.9 on Apple, 5 stars on Spotify, part of the Acast Creator Network. So, Tom.
What up, dog?
Got to give them what they want.
What's that, oh?
We've got to break them off something.
Hell yeah.
And it's got to be bumping. Something, something football. Couldn't get it to rhyme, could I?
Hey, it went pretty well, though. It went that's good. Pretty that's well.
Good. You should all know, as listeners, for years, Seb thought that song was called Nothing But a G-String. Which tells you all you need to know about his mind.
Is that true, Ari?
Yeah. Let's get it. Nothing But a G-String. She was wearing nothing but a G-String. I saw her, and she was wearing nothing but a G-String. Walking around the... I couldn't believe it. Nothing but a G-spot. Do you mean a Gloucester old spot?
What
or
is
something
a
different? Is that what G-spot is? Is it a Gloucester old spot peg? No, you know that. Is that
peg?
Oh, I never knew what it was before.
Gloucester spot. Oh, dear.
He's back.
He is back. We're all back. Great to be back.
It is. It really is.
Rebecca.
Here we go.
On we go. Adventures in Clubland. Adventures in Clubland. This is where we talk about players and their adventures in Clubland. Funnily enough, not, unfortunately, their actual adventure in Clubland. Although I've seen enough footballers on their own in VIP areas drinking a lonely bottle of vermouth with no one else in there while the rest of the club just parties without giving a fuck that they're in there. No names.
crying in the club.
Adventures in Clubland. Asad Raza, as Hello? I live and breathe, he's back. He's
cruising for a bruising, big
he's
papa.
As earthy and autumnal as I've ever seen a man. It makes me also want to take off my brown corduroy shirt. If you put me and him top and bottom, we would look like sex case. It'd be
corduroys up the wazoo. Do you remember when I wore that massive orange jacket to the office?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Like a boiler cover.
I remember that one.
It's fine. As you get a little bit older, I forget how young you are sometimes, and you'll develop a personality and won't have to wear Larry clothes.
I don't know, man. I'm 33.
Might be a yellow card here. Early. Go.
Ooh.
It's Antoine Griezmann at Atletico de Madrid in the 2015-16 season.
Ooh.
Yeah, he arrived from Real Sociedad in 14-15. I remember it because United were linked with him after his performance against us in 2013-14. And he was like a slightly different player at Sociedad. And I was like, damn, he could be great in David Moyes' Manchester United. 14-15, he goes to Atletico Madrid for a then club record, €30 million, right? Staves off the interest and doesn't join David Moyes' insipid army.
No way.
Well, we were linked with him, and he played really well against us.
You were linked with a lot of players. You became, as a fan base, you edged yourself for about 8 years over Wesley Schneider.
Yeah, we did, oh my God. I was convinced.
You were still being linked with him when he retired and was pushing a fucking wheelbarrow around Groningen.
I was looking at like he'd like removed like Adidas athlete or something from his bio, which meant he was going to go to United, who was sponsored by Nike or something. Like,
do you remember?
Oh my God!
It was next level.
Nicholas Gatin,
and Lavezzi.
That was another one. Yeah.
I should add in here for the listeners. I'm sat in a room with three Manchester United fans today: two overt and one liar.
Covert, one undercover,
and one liar. One undercover red.
When we were doing a photo shoot, Seb came up to me and Tommy and was just like, United.
No, it was more specific than that. We are the pride of all Europe, the cock of the North.
That is,
but he whispered
insane.
It to me and Assad. Whilst Owen was somewhere
remarkable.
Else.
It's okay. Let's get on with Antoine Griezmann.
Like, he was more of an inside forward, like kind of like Mo Salah at Sociedad. And when he arrived,
fucking wash your fucking mouth out. Wash your mouth
I'm
out.
I'm saying, not. He wasn't wash as good out. As him. He occupied the same position. Yeah, he came inside and like took up central areas, right? He arrives at Atletico and Simeone puts him up top as more of a pure striker, right? And first season he settles in, does really well, scores about 22 goals and helps him win the Supercopa. But 15-16, 32 goals,
ooh,
7 assists in 54 games.
That's not bad, is it?
22 in the league.
Was he false nine or
second striker? He played behind in 15-16. He played alongside Fernando Torres in most games. Really?
Hang on a minute. Have I been quantum leaped into the Totally Football Show?
Yeah.
All right,
second
James Richardson. You started wearing Calvin Klein hats. Horncastle, you finally let the hair go.
Like, the main reason I wanted to talk about him is just because like I've always loved how he plays. Every time I used to watch Atletico in the Champions League and when they played against like Real Madrid or Barca, that Simeone system was like, that like team was just a punishing watch. And then they'd give it Griezmann and he would, you know, open up a defence or hit a shot from 30 yards really, really hard into the bottom corner.
Yes.
And he reminded me of like a leaner, lither Wayne Rooney in the sense that like he would just run himself to the ground for his team.
I will say I only really came to appreciate his talents as a footballer at the 2018 World Cup.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
It was pivotal, and they were brilliant, weren't they?
Best he was very unselfish, team, yeah. wasn't he? Very unselfish that tournament, and as you were alluding to, that.
It was a good tournament, and France were fucking great and worthy winners, and he was brilliant. He was brilliant. There's a bit in here, Assad. I want to talk about the chipping the keeper note you've got in here because that seems to me like the most important thing we can talk about.
I was watching like several compilations before I came in to like record this, and like pretty much his default finish went through on goal. Like he doesn't just chip it gently; it's not like a loop finish. He like twats it, and it goes up at speed. It finishes the chip almost on the downswing. Is like it's aggressively chipped in. If you know what I mean?
Ooh. Not a dink. It's not a dink. Dink. It's the opposite of a dink.
He like fucks it in. Yeah, just like bang.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean,
that's quite a good description.
Antoine Griezmann fucks it in.
Fuck yeah.
Having like one of the most depressing things about being a United fans, remember Rashford trying to chip the keeper against like Manuel Neuer. I shared a goal that where he scores a bicycle kick against Deportivo, and it was just like that kind of improvisational brilliance.
Yeah.
In a team that wasn't just had a bunch of cloggers basically and clogged its way to the Champions League final. He was pretty crucial to that.
A team of cloggers. Because I've got it. I just wanted to investigate if it was a team of cloggers or not. I think we've got to be fair if we're calling people cloggers.
Okay, go on.
Or Black.
Okay, a very good goalkeeper. But like
Juan Fran?
Yes.
A clogger?
Yeah.
No.
Stefan Savic?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
That one's fair.
Yeah. Diego Godin?
Yes.
Yes.
Not a clogger.
But classy.
No, okay,
as well.
A classy centre half.
A master of the arts.
A master of the arts.
So not a clogger.
Not fine. Not a clogger.
No.
Clogger
they were
Jason.
Made to clog
clogger
by
Jason.
Simeone. They were made to clog by Simeone.
No. Felipe Luis?
Great. Okay, a very good fullback.
Not a clogger. So we're on a. Right mid, Saul.
Not a clogger in that
five.
Incarnation.
Central midfield, Gabby.
Oh, fuck you.
A class act.
Yeah.
Sick. Augusto Fernandez. Yeah. Don't know who he is. But Lucas Hernandez came on, as did Yannick Carrasco and Thomas Partey. Yeah. One of them a clogger.
Not one of them a clogger.
Koke.
A bit of a clogger.
Not really a clogger. Antoine Griezmann?
Not a clogger.
Fernando Torres?
Yeah.
Not a clogger. Old by that point.
Although I imagine he's doing some clogging at the gym at the moment. The amount of protein he's eating.
Fine.
Look at him
they
go.
Individually weren't cloggers, but as a team, they were tough to watch. They were tough to watch.
Fair enough. I just wanted...
The game that his best game was against that semi-final against Bayern Munich. He... in 60 minutes, just broke the back out of Bayern just by, he hit the bar 14 times in that game. So Griezmann scores the winner in that game that gets them to the Champions League final.
Yeah.
Which is their first ever, right?
Yes. The one against Real Madrid, yeah.
Yeah. After his, Messi-esque performance, basically.
Yeah.
Simeone's, he's asked a question or something and he's like, well, we don't need a Messi. We have our Messi. He is Griezmann.
Yes.
And obviously then he went to Barcelona and Barcelona had the actual Lionel Messi.
Yes.
But it didn't really fit there. Then he went back to Atleti, and he's been maybe the best player in La Liga since.
Probably worth adding that he's now Atletico's all-time scorer, isn't he? Now being back there, he's top of the list, 170-odd or 180-odd, and rising all the time. And it's weird, isn't it, with Atletico? You don't... Torres, you associate as a striker who's there for a long time, who's never prolific. They're a funny club.
Yeah,
with strikers.
Like Aguero
just
and
Falcao. Aguero, yeah.
But they're all there for a bit.
Mandzukic.
Diego Forlán.
Mario Mandzukic.
Morata.
He is a weird player.
Griezmann's criminally underrated in the sense that he was always in the sort of Ronaldo-Messi era. I always saw him similar as Wayne Rooney, like you kind of alluded to before. He was always in that, just in that bracket below.
Yeah.
In a lot of other eras, he maybe would have been in Ballon d'Or contention. Wayne Rooney certainly would have.
15-16, I reckon he was close, but then that was like peak Messi and Ronaldo.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
one
exactly.
One thing I would like to say...
I'm back.
He
went for the Athletic.
So this, no!
This year...
I could see Seb's face shut these two fucking nerds up.
Oh, fuck.
Hang on, I'm back. I know what you're going to say.
In 15-16... He won the La Liga Player of the Year, and after that, they discontinued it. He was the last ever winner of the La Liga Player of the Year.
So he is the La Liga's best player.
He's also the only other player apart from Messi and Ronaldo to win it.
Does he bring you joy?
Yeah, I love watching him play.
Will people going back and watching this from that season give people joy?
Yeah.
Good.
And importantly, watching him now would give people joy.
Good air at the moment.
Always. Yeah. Head and shoulders to adverts and stuff.
Yeah, another thing you two have said. I mean, he couldn't be further diametrically opposite to Wayne Rooney, could he?
No, I meant... I didn't mean as a player. I meant in how he was seen, how he was rated across the world.
Sorry, I must have stopped listening when you two were talking about his fucking personal XG.
I meant he was in that second rung of players world of
below that.
Looks like we got ourselves a brighter.
Well, Griezmann is a. I thought it was well known, but maybe not because some of you guys don't know it. Griezmann is a massive Football Manager fan.
Yeah, I knew this.
And on his social media, there's various stories and different clubs that he's done. At the moment, he's trying to take Blackburn Rovers back into the Premier League.
Yeah,
Beforehand, he was playing with Newcastle because there was that joke, wasn't there? That meme with him and
Mbappe. Playing, yeah.
But I think my favourite one is he took over Arsenal and got rid of everyone apart from Lacazette.
His mate.
And then put all these other players. He just went, no, I'm going to start from scratch. So.
We are bringing back an old favourite in a different way. Not James Bird. It's the return of midfield blunt rotation.
Yes.
And you're going to have to bear with us as we kick this one back off. There's a few people who'd mentioned it to us, and we never got it quite right before. But the way we're going to do it now is we're just going to pick a midfield and talk about the players individually and then work out if we think they would be dream or nightmare, and then we'll see what you lot think as well. We could have gone, and because this is an award special, didn't say that at the beginning, but It is an award special. Got too carried away doing the West Country and Snoop, which is, God.
It was an exciting intro, though, wasn't
West
it?
Country, yeah, yeah.
Oh. Makes you tingle. Ain't nothing but a G-thangs to every... Two loped out tractors going crazy.
Yeah, I was like, what's the vehicle?
It's like, this and like that and like this, you are. It's like that, like this, like that, you are.
20-inch rims on there.
Ooh, are, stop the fucking car.
It's got
ready to make an entrance, so back the tractor up. We're about to rip that field up. Midfield blunt rotation. So, as is an awards special, there was a couple of suggestions in the script. Your entry-level stuff. 1995-96 Premier League PFA Team of the Year. Steve Stone, Rob Lee, Ruud Gullit, David Ginola. Great to talk about, but that would just be us going, what a player he was. And we do that a lot. Similarly, the midfield from the 1998 All-Star squad selected by the FIFA technical teams. Dunga, Rivaldo, Michael Laudrup, Zidane and Davids. Same again. We'd be talking about going, oh, what a player, what a player, what a player. So, we went down the PFA teams of the year in the 90s and landed on Division 3, 1996-1997. So the midfield is Gareth Ainsworth, then at Lincoln.
Ainsy.
Roberto Martinez, then at Wigan.
Oof. Unbelievable.
Warren Aspinall, then at Carlisle United. And he had a bit of a journeyman career. We'll get onto it in a minute. And last, definitely least if they're doing if they're doing some sprints before the game to warm up. But first in terms of technique and passing ability, Jan Mulby. Recently left Liverpool to become player manager at Swansea. Now, what fucking midfield this is. That, the team, Gareth Ainsworth.
For the fourth tier of English football.
Jan Mulby.
Yeah.
Roberto Martinez and Warren Aspinall. Now, Aspinall will be the least remembered, so maybe let's start with him. And we've got to be... This is called midfield blunt rotation. We've got to be careful here, because Warren Aspinall, after his career, had some highly publicised at the time problems with drinking and betting and became suicidal. However, he turned it round and started fronting campaigns for the Samaritans. Yeah. And he's now a much, 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 much loved co-commentator on BBC Sussex. And there is one quote of him saying he rose like a tin of John West salmon. But Aspinall had a bit of an interesting career. He was at Villa and Everton for decent moves. Graham Taylor bombed him out of Villa because he just kept getting sent off. He was a bit of a wild card, Warren Aspinall, but scored a lot of goals for Carlisle in that season. But I just don't remember him. I don't remember the name or anything.
Do you not?
No.
Yeah. I reckon that.
And I should, you know, like I'm this. Yeah. I'm the age to remember it, but I can't remember him at all.
Yeah, because you mentioned Everton there. He only played six games in their Champions League season, but he recently got given a medal. They started backdated some medals.
Oh, really?
So he's got a title winner's medal for time at Everton.
Played for St Mirren as well and some random teams.
Oh, yeah,
so
he's definitely.
I did manage to have a peek at his Wikipedia page when you brought it up, and he does look like the regional manager of a paper company. He does. He had the tie and like the hair and the trim.
He's having the time of his life watching Brighton, because he finished playing there as well, and he's having his time of his life and the fans. Yeah.
You know, a good end to a story, and I know he's fronted some anti-gambling stuff and good on him. All power to you, Warren Aspinall. If any of our listeners have seen him in the flesh and had him play for their club, I would imagine, based on the you lot in our Discord and his long club list, there must be some stuff.
There will be.
And then we'll go to Gareth Ainsworth, him of the... well, do you know what? The only person I knew who would have any strong feelings really on Gareth Ainsworth is James Wright, friend of the mag, friend of the pod, friend for life, who's a QPR fan. And obviously Ainsworth has been linked with QPR. And he says, describe Ainsworth in one sentence. And he said, as the way it unfolded, as a manager, a player, as a person. I said, more of a player as a person, because Ainsworth was at Lincoln at this time, playing under the long ball merchant John Beck for the third time.
Oh, that's a name.
It signed him a few times.
A blast.
And scored 22 goals, Gareth Ainsworth, for midfield this season, for the Imps.
Fucking hell.
A great nickname, that, the Imps.
A great stadium name, Lincoln, as well, Cinque Bank.
Yeah.
Lincoln City, the Imps, Cinque Bank.
Beautiful.
Beat that.
Beautiful. Yeah.
You keep your fucking Manchester United... And Old Trafford.
It's Newton Heath, isn't it?
So anyway, I asked James Wright. I messaged him the morning of the day we were recording. Without being too wanky, it's probably one word, really, throwback. And not in a snide way, because, yes, his hair, his dad jackets, the leather necklaces, etc., is 1,000% a throwback. But it's more his attitude to football, his profound sense of privilege that he gets to play football for a living, trying to run off a broken leg because he believes that privilege means you have to give 100%. that collective sense of responsibility over personal achievement. And I thought, what a fucking lovely way to sum someone up.
He obviously has got this reputation now as this leather jacketed heavy metal fan who's now a manager. Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
No.
I've been looking at leathers.
But exactly.
He took it off, Rebecca. He had a bloody G-string on underneath.
Did you say lovers or leathers?
He came on in this new leather jacket. Long it was.
Long it was. Some would say it's a duster.
A duster jacket. But thinks he's bloody Johnny Gash.
Johnny Gash.
God, that's good. That's good. But he, I think what he did at Wickham was obviously incredible. And it was a real shame it didn't work out for him at QPR, because obviously there is a connection there and he is well-liked. And sometimes it just, however much the fans want it and however much the people want
seems
it
like
work.
A good bloke. Because
he
I'll
does,
tell you what.
Because there's a lot of dickheads in football.
There's a lot of dickheads in football. And if, in a sport as notoriously clicky as football, where it's very uniform, if you're prepared to be yourself and stand out and turn up in your AC/DC t-shirts and whatever, then fucking fair play to you.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'll be fucking Troy Deeney at Forest Green Rovers. So we've started with Gareth Ainsworth and Warren Aspinall there, but like, we're going to come to the two big boys here, and we're going to come to a figurative big boy to start with in Roberto Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
I've ended up really disliking Roberto Martinez, and it's completely unfair. Because I've met him and I've interviewed him, and he was a lovely
man. Yeah.
Lovely man.
Why have you got to...
I just think he's a bit of a prick.
Yeah, he gives that vibe off.
The whole Bobby Brown shoes thing.
I don't mind that. I just think the way... I think he's a bit of a... I just don't know the way... I just don't like anything he says. There's a bit of Brent about him. Similar to Brendan Rodgers in these managers who create this sort of cult of their own personality around them.
Right.
Because they... People dislike Klopp fine and people dislike Pep and whatever, but they are being themselves.
Yeah.
And there's no need for Klopp and Pep
and
that to bullshit, because they're fucking brilliant at what they do. And when they do have a bad game, they can just say, yeah, shit today and move on, because they haven't created this thing around them. Whereas Brendan Rodgers...
They've earned the right as well.
Well, yeah, earned the right or not, you always want honesty, right? Whereas Brendan Rodgers, Liverpool will get panelled 5-0 and say, I thought the group were great today.
Yeah, exactly.
Brendan. Put some fucking chapstick on your lips and tell the truth. But... Martinez is always a bit like that with me. He's a bit like, oh, come on, just say the truth. You're shit. Like, it's fine. Yeah. Fans want that. Anyway, at this point, though, he signed for Wigan with the two of the Spanish players. So I can't remember the name. The Three Amigos by Dave Whelan.
Yeah.
Jesus, one of them, wasn't he?
Jesus Seba and Isidro Diaz, I think it was.
Isidro Diaz,
yeah.
Well, they signed on my 17th birthday.
Did they?
July the 25th.
What birthday? That must have been.
They went from Zaragoza to Wigan. First non-British players for Wigan.
Happy birthday, Owen. You'll never guess who Wigan have signed.
If I'd have known Seb then, that's what would have happened.
Fucking hell, you never guess what.
What a day
Zaragoza.
For you.
17, you might be able to drive, mate. But
you won't forget this
one. Only gone and snapped up Three Amigos.
Third division Wigan. Just got three bloody Bosmans.
That would have been on 3-1-2 on Ski Facts.
Absolutely.
No question. The news in brief.
Absolutely. So, but he was pretty much captain everywhere he played. He's a legend at Wigan as a player and a gaffer. He won him the FA Cup and did very, very well at Swansea as well and played some great football. And his teams do play attack. I think Belgium was always a bit of a difficult one for him. I think there's a bit of a superiority complex with them as a team, and they expected to be the best. They were number one in the world for 4 years, and they did finish third at a World Cup, highest they've ever finished.
Exactly.
But it was also
maybe I'm convinced, maybe I don't dislike him.
There's a good documentary on him while he's at Belgium. Like, it's behind the scenes, and he comes across, if you watch it, he comes across really well.
Seb, I sat this far from him, chatted to him for an hour, and walked away and loved him. So do you know what? I don't know where this has come from.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Maybe I get what you mean. He does
seem like Brent with a UEFA badge. There's no doubt about it.
Pro-licensed Brent.
Pro-licensed Brent.
Go on, Alfred.
Yeah.
No, it's like the grey overcoat he wears with the grey jeans and the
brown shoes.
Shit flickers,
They're not shit flickers.
No,
he has more Mr. Men. So, Roberto Martinez, wonderful. But then, fucking Jan Malby.
Yeah.
One of the best central midfielders of his time. For a few years.
Oh, God.
Before he started
100%.
Packing it on. David Priest, there's two David Priest connections in this piece, actually. He once said to me, I think he played against Roberto Martinez. So he was a good footballer, but he was so slow, he ran like he had a parachute on his back. Which is probably why he never made it at the top level.
But at the time.
Excellent passer, sit at the base of midfield
and
do his bits. But Priestley wrote a piece ages ago for me in a different lifetime. Might have been Sabotage Times, might have been something else, about how a Jan Mulby pass changed his life and changed his whole approach to how he kicked the ball. It was in a reserve team game between Liverpool and Sunderland at Roker Park.
Wow.
And he said, Jan Mulby hit this fucking pass and it like went, clipped the like 60 yards like a fucking missile, clipping the grass all the way through. And he was a wonderful footballer, Mulby. I mean, there was a few years ago, he came to prominence again, that the lost goal came out.
Yes.
He scored one of the goals of the 80s against Manchester United and he'd never seen it. And then...
Because it was a TV strike, wasn't it?
It was a TV strike. And then someone had recorded it on a fucking video camera.
Wow. Or
wasn't it the CCTV?
It was something like that. He runs from fucking right back, carves the midfield apart and then just fucking buries it top corner. It's an absolute...
incredible.
He came from Ajax. He played there with Cruyff.
Of course he did,
yeah. No, so Mulby was well thought of. And that's part of that Danish generation. I mean, he played 30-odd times for Denmark, I think. So he probably didn't fulfil his potential. But he had injury problems. He went to prison, didn't he, for drink driving.
He did, He bloody hell, he did, yeah.
But he was a good player. And then he sort of fell foul at Liverpool and he was more injured. Had a few loans. Turns up at Swansea the season before this as their fucking player manager. He's the fifth manager of the season. It was some carnage. They had a manager called Kevin Cullis, who had his only previous management experience was the youth team at Cradley Town in the West Midlands. They got him in. He lasted a game or something because the players just stopped listening to him at half time.
It's an insane one, that one.
They had two caretakers and then they got fucking Jan Mulby. Anyway, fast forward to this season, opening game of the season, Mulby misses a penalty and gets sent off, but then leads them. They get to the playoff final and lose in the playoff final.
They lose to Northampton, don't they?
And they get sacked the next season. But apparently, I mean, from everything I read, there was no one quote that stood out. But he was so good, and he had runners round him, and he just absolutely ran the show for midfield that season in Div 3, which must have been hard. Maybe not as hard now. Premier League player now going to the fourth tier would probably hate it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Jan Mulby had grown up, like the gap was different and he probably just enjoyed playing football.
Right.
Before his injury started to kick in, Mulby played a lot like Gascoigne.
Very,
very skillful, quite impudent, wonderful passer, great free kicks, like fucking... I think he's second only to David Icke Letissier in top flight penalties record, I think. The Lizards.
It's an eclectic group of characters.
Well, you've got a Danish star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The current manager of Portugal.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what I think of them individually as a blunt rotation.
Okay. Yeah.
Gareth Ainsworth, fucking great. Brings his own Rizzlers, tries to fucking... Got a little pouch. Class.
Tunes on. Yeah, yeah.
Class.
Yeah. A rolling tray.
Yeah. Brings an ashtray with him.
Yeah. Jan Mulby, bakes. Yeah. Roberto Martinez, can't really handle it, bum sucks it, you don't want to be to the left of him.
Has a panic attack.
Has a panic attack and gets the tactics board out.
Sending weird texts to Cristiano.
And Warren Aspinall just commentates on it and has a very nice time.
Very wholesome.
I think they're dream blunt rotation. Tommy?
Yeah, dream, 100%.
Seb?
Dream, 4 out of 4.
As said, you don't know any of them are.
Roberto, Having seen Roberto, I was like, I don't know if I'd want to get high with Roberto.
He'd be all right, though. He'd be harmless, wouldn't he? He'd laugh at him.
He'd be like catatonic in the corner. Yeah, fine, dream.
I'm saying dream. Ed, in the control room? Dream.
Yeah.
5 out of 5 for our first new midfield. And
midfield.
the Division 3, 96.
It's so fucking...
What a great place to start.
I know this is a basic word, but it's so random. It is random.
It's quirky.
It's quirky.
Introducing The Hattrick, a new subscriber newsletter from Mundial. Each week, there'll be 3 stories linked by a theme. Stories from islands, stories about people, stories about heroes, stories about villains, stories about love, hope, despair, joy, and, of course, goals. Go to mundialmag.com to sign up to The Hattrick now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did anyone watch the Return of Gladiators?
No.
No,
you text me, repeat.
My sister is your age and her son, my nephew fucking loves it.
Clattenburg's the ref.
Oh, he is, isn't he? with his fucking Champions League and World Cup tattoos.
Yeah, oh, I'm surprised God. He didn't try and do the Scottish accent.
Oh. Just for a joke, just for the first one, you would for a laugh.
Nobody takes it really seriously. He stood there like this. No. Gladiator ready!
See, Mike Dean would be funny doing that, wouldn't he?
Oh, Seb, yes.
Mike he Dean would be funny, wouldn't he? Mike Dean would be really good at that. He knows he pisses people off and he's a bit of a bell end, but Clattenburg, I don't think, does know. What I will say is, though, can I say one thing in defence of Mark Clattenburg?
Yeah?
He's got those things tattooed on his arm, right? He has reached the peak of his profession. The peak. He is the best in the world at football refereeing because he refereed... arguably.
Yeah.
The best in the world. He's refereeing.
No, he was. He was. He was.
I don't think getting a tattoo is that bad.
All right, we'll get the fucking listeners' award on your own. Go back, get all the ones we won for Giant and get this. No, go on, do Mourinho. Put your fucking money where your fucking mouth is.
No, I just...
No. Yeah. Campaign for Seb to get our audio awards tattooed on his arm.
Yes.
Because he hasn't
opened a can of worms.
It's just a square. Yeah.
best sports and leisure podcast 2023.
They haven't even given us a trophy.
Where is our fucking
trophy? What am I going to stick on my shelf?
Well, that's a good point.
Some fucking emojis.
Adam, we know you listen.
I need to feed the bloody 5,000 pod Bible. Mascots of the world, unite and take over.
Oh, yes.
Bring your fucking dinner, Tommy Stewart.
Swing your pants.
Hey.
Why have you ruined that?
I got excited.
Got me excited, don't worry.
It's Seb. And, Germany again. Some might say he's got a fascination with the Rhineland.
Well, no. The reason is because, obviously, again, as an award-winning podcast, we're going to talk about an award-winning mascot. Oh. And who has got the most social media followers in the whole wide world?
Does he have an award for that?
Yes. Oh. Mundial Award.
Oh, hang on. So there's not an actual award?
No. Well, no, he was list. I typed in.
Seb's giving him an
mascot
award.
Mascot with most followers.
And you trusted whatever the first result was.
Yeah, and it is him. And I checked it. He has definitely got the most followers. We're giving him the award.
Fucking, that's some journalism, isn't it?
No, the reason. I'll tell you what. The reason.
You put the fucking poo in Pulitzer.
That's very good. That's very good. Right. Bernie the Bear, Bayern Munich. And another reason I want to talk about him, because we've talked about some weird and wonderful ones, giraffes at Sutton, you know, Rapid Man in Colorado. But I reckon we've talked about hard-working mascots. This fucker's everywhere. Every training session, pretty much, on his social media. He even goes on European aways.
Does he?
What's he doing?
Well, I don't see Fred the Red fucking walking the streets of Munich when Man United are in Europe.
Yeah, that's because Rebecca won't let you go.
He goes to the Bayern Munich basketball games as
Does
well.
He?
He goes to all the women's games. He's everywhere.
I'm sold.
He is everywhere. So that's what, you know, he's built up a great following. And the second reason I picked him...
He's
giving him another award here.
Wait, what?
He might well win the award for the busiest football club mascot. That's not an award!
Unless you invent it and give it to him.
The Mundial busiest mascot of the year.
Would you go to Munich, to München, and give it?
Present it to him.
Do you know what I want? 100%. Do you know what I want to do? Mm. Bear bait him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've caught alive.
Yeah, get him to have a boxing match with Deontay Wilder.
Oh, my God. There's another reason why I think we have to give credit where credit's due to Bernie the Bear.
His boots, right? You look at all the mascots, certainly the ones we've done. Look at the mascot next time you're at the game. The footwear can leave a lot to be desired. Quite often they're the model zone, shall we say. Sometimes they're a little bit of a...
I see what you mean.
He raises a good point. Yeah,
sometimes sometimes they're model zone. Sometimes they're
size 12, yellow Adidas. Yeah.
Or sometimes...
What about you again?
Sometimes they might be like little covers that like pretend to be like hooves or something like that. And it's they can be really, really shit. This Bernie, obviously, being part of Bayern Munich, you know, who have been sponsored and kit supplied by Adidas for decades and decades.
Yeah.
I mean, they are mascot shoes. They're not like boots. They're mascot shoes, but they've got three beautiful white stripes on.
Classic.
You could... Classic. Three big strifen. And I would say they are mascot mundials, if you will.
And you will.
So there's three reasons there. I think he's extremely popular. He's very good with the kids. He's doing loads of stuff. And he's recently been joined by a female version called Mia.
And most importantly, he has the most Instagram followers of any mascot.
He's won the award. He's won the Mundial Award for most Instagram followers.
That we've invented today.
I'm just looking at the notes here. Is the female version you say has got a ponytail?
It's basically a much thinner version of the costume, and then someone's just got this syrup with a ponytail on the back.
Brilliant.
One thing I'd like to ask is, having seen photos of him and then finding an article online about it, is Bernie juicing?
Juicing?
He was accused of it by a Bavarian website. He was accused of cutting and looking shredded.
Here we go. This is my type of stuff. Off the crossbar. Is Bayern Munich's Bernie on the juice? Is this new look a cry for help? Or is he simply a bear with a plan? Fantastic. Right, let's have a quick look at this. Stand first. What is going on with Bernie? Is that him?
Yeah.
Is that him?
He's 100
foot. Well, that's
a model.
He's like Godzilla.
How is he getting into training if he's that fucking big?
Here we go. Go keep going down. Mascot.
In a stunning reveal, Bayern Munich mascot Bernie released a video showing a trimmed down and, dare I say, more svelte physique. As you will see in the tweet below, this is a dramatic transformation that caused an uproar prior to the match. Fans, players and pundits alike are all gasping at just how different Bernie looks.
Are they gasping? Wow.
See, they give him the proper treatment.
Oh my God, they've done a signing video. It's like when, when Alexis Sanchez played the piano.
Yeah.
The mascot Mundial.
Oh my God. Bernie.
Number 12.
Drop the E.
Is he coming out the Millennium Falcon?
That's ominous. Imagine waking up at night and seeing that.
God. Oh, I like their tunnel.
I've seen him on Grindr.
He's a bear.
He's a furry.
Yeah, he goes...
No, he's a happy chap, isn't he? Oh, yeah, he used to be a lovable little tyke. Yeah, with skinny, with a bit of a belly, maybe. And now he's hench. I see it. Yeah. I see it. He looks happier then, though. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, he does look
He doesn't
happier,
look as happy now.
It's because Leon Goretzka's had him in the gym doing like deadlifts.
But you'll see loads of pictures of him with like all the players. He's there after every game at the end on the pitch.
Sources at BFW recalled Bernie's rollicking late-night lifestyle led to some legal trouble involving Arturo Vidal and Borussia Dortmund's Emma B. Likely a very bad influence. Moreover, Julian Nagelsmann's extreme focus on fitness might have led to some internal discussions at the club, putting Bernie's formerly portly physique in the manager's crosshairs. Mascots of the world, unite and take over. Right then. Mundial joins the dots for football culture. And that's not a boast by us, but the words of an actual subscriber in our most recent reader survey. Why not see what they're on about and have a look at Mundial magazine? 100 pages of global football magic, released 4 times a year. It looks great, smells great, and the writing isn't bad either. Go to mundialmag.com or follow the link in the show description to find out more. Outs and ins and outs, on we go. Tommy's rolling his fingers. Right, Assad.
It is the joy of shuffling your like songs on Spotify.
I did this because of you.
Mm.
Really?
And a great song by a band called GL, who I'd forgot about completely. Do you remember? Johnny Mangus played them. And got the album. It's fucking great.
Yeah, it's... So I have like 9,000 like songs on Spotify, which is too many, right?
9,000?
Ooh. 9,000.
You're odd.
9,000. No wonder you haven't made a fucking. No wonder you haven't made a deadline yet.
He's too busy listening to the new Tame Impala.
He's never bought a CD though. It was
my way of like just rediscovering old music that I'd liked like earlier in my life, and it's great.
Yeah,
I did it before. It was great.
You did.
Yeah. It's great. You know, I forgot I'd listened to this before. I didn't know that was in.
Yeah,
it's in. Good algorithms. Good algorithms.
It's in. My in is Colin from Accounts.
Nice.
Not watched it yet.
I watched the first two episodes.
Vouch for that.
I've heard it's fucking great.
It's really good.
A lot of fun.
Really fun. Good characters. Quirky. Quirky Australian. Surprisingly funny.
Yeah, yeah. And with a lot of heart as well.
Yeah, it comes from a country where people have got no sense of humour, so it's... yeah. Zing. Yeah. All right, you can't.
Someone was in Australia recently.
Do you know, very quickly, before we started to record, Ed asked Seb how Australia was, and Seb went, too hot.
Yeah. Too hot for me. And what, yeah.
What you should know, listeners, is Seb went to Australia and spent most of his time sat in the house watching 2020.
Watching cricket.
Got into the Brisbane heat.
He's a big bash boy now.
He's always been a big bash boy.
That's so true.
Yeah. Especially if she wears the G-string.
Ain't nothing but a G-string.
Conniff from Accounts, definitely recommend.
Me, James, and Owen going on about the Ashes last summer and Seb's. Lads, have you heard of the Big Bash?
Forget the Ashes, Lark.
More like the Bashes.
They do it quicker.
I really liked it.
They do it quicker. Really it. And it protects the turf. They're only on it 3 hours. None of that 5 day nonsense.
Well, they were too protective of the turf when I went because I was supposed to watch a game and it got bloody abandoned.
That's cricket, baby.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you can't be too protective of the turf if you're in a G-string, Seb.
No.
Anyway, in. Seb.
Moving on. Oh, actually, another Australian thing. Schooners of 3.5% ale. Pints, too much. Schooner, just a nice, just the right size. And the ale, 3.5%. Nothing silly. Nothing like three or four of them and you're fucking...
I've got to be honest.
A bit wobbly.
It sounds like piss.
No, no.
The different ways you're finding to tell me and Tommy you're back on the source is
fucking amazing. No.
It's your life, brother. I don't care. We've run our race. We're out.
No.
You
was thinking the same.
No.
Tommy.
I've invented a game that's called Chip Pan.
Fuck off, mate. What's the matter with you? Come on.
No, it's great. So you get in my flat, me and my housemate.
Do you have a chip pan in your house?
No, just a normal pan. So an old pan that we
not get. The dangerous chip pans that are outlawed because campsites kept setting on fire. No.
I've done a pun. So it's a little pan, a deep enough one where this soft sort of fabric-y ball.
Yeah, I love stuff like this.
You chip from about 5-6 yards behind the door in the kitchen, so you can't go beyond that line. Everyone gets 5 attempts. If you keep it in the pan, you get 3 points. If you hit it, you get 1, etc. There's a system, and now, sort of every lunch break, me and Sam, my housemate, will just have a little game of chip pan.
I love stuff like this. Yeah. I love inventing games like that.
Yeah,
I'm well into it. And I was reminded the other day, although I didn't invent this, years ago when we went to Eindhoven to do the Ronaldo episode of Giant, the first episode, we stayed in this fucking great house, didn't we, Sam? It was like a Bond villain's lair. Everything was great about it apart from the beds. Andrew Martin worked with us on that trip. He came driving and translating and sort of being a production assistant. And me and him had a game of two-touch outside and he was 17-12 up. And I roared back to beat him 2017. He had a tantrum and kicked the ball on the roof. And I reminded him of it the other day on DM. He's like, oh, sounds like a lie never happened. Yeah.
Definitely did. But I remember how fuming he was still.
But I love stuff like
that. If you work from home all the time, you just think of something like that to keep you sort
I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, it's great.
I love shit like that. Yeah.
In.
Thank you.
Out. Asad Raza.
Julia Roberts in Notting Hill.
Seems like a soft target, but go on.
I was rewatching it the other day and...
Well, fucking hell, mate. You know what you're getting into. You're not going to turn it on and she's going to fucking come out from behind the sofa like that. Say she loves the smell of fucking napalm in the morning, is she? Notting Hill.
She's just horrible to Hugh Grant the whole way through. I don't get why
that's the film!
I just don't like her in it.
Oh, this Godfather, I can't believe it.
No.
They're just gangsters. They're just gangsters.
She always seems really sound, Julia Roberts, I think.
I'm not saying she...
She's
as
a big United fan.
I know. I'm not saying her as a person.
Tommy.
Maya, is your own fans actually booing you? As I was walking to Old Trafford recently, some fucking 17-year-old lads they were stood about 2 yards behind me, and one of them went, "You like shit!" And I jumped. I jumped out of my fucking skin. And
yeah, like shit, pan.
Yeah. I turned around and gave him a look. And I was wearing pretty much the outfit I'm wearing today, but with my United scarf. And then they started going, "Oh, did your mum drop you off? Is that your first United scarf? Is it son?" And I was like, "You're fucking 15 years younger than me." The whole time, obviously, I was shitting myself because they're younger than me. I can't do anything, but I was fuming.
This is like in Peep Show where you're scared.
I said to my brother recently, I felt like Mark in Peep Show. Because I said to my mate I was with, "Can I fucking just grab him?" And he's like, "No, because like there's loads of police around." I was fuming. Yeah. And then I followed them a bit.
You followed them?
I followed them a little bit.
What do you mean a little bit?
Mate, they fucking had my pants down in front. And they were just like, "Why aren't you singing, mate? First scarf, is it? Mum drop you off." And I was just like, just going. Oh.
That is amazing. That's
horrible.
That's great.
Embarrassing.
It is.
But when you look back at it now, when you read it back out, though, it does sound funny.
Fucking hilarious. Like,
hey. It's all content.
Yeah.
Life is content.
Exactly, yeah.
It is. Seb.
I came back from Australia with COVID, which meant I missed a fantastic, by all accounts, a fantastic away day.
More importantly than that, mate, you missed a fucking... You'd been away for 3 weeks and you missed more work.
I know. Yeah,
fucking Muggins over here in the shit.
I know.
Fucking hell.
I know.
Nothing about that. No. Sorry, lads. Missed a fucking away. I missed an absolutely class away. What a cunt you are.
But it's that feeling, and you know...
Me and fucking Assad, fucking hell.
Up
shit creek without a paddle.
We were. Yeah. I know this. And that does not detract from the fact that I was still gutted. When I was listening to the commentary, there was still that 5-10% of me going, fucking hell, I wish I was there. And people always be able to say, I was there for that one.
What was it? What was the game?
Hampton and Richmond won on penalties against Hartlepool.
Ah, that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a shame you missed that. Not out. But I am going to put out, and they should be in, but you should look at them for a bit and then realise why they're out, is David Beckham's Instagram stories. Because I can't believe he still does them. Yeah. Because it explodes the myth the cunt's got any fucking style of his own at all. The fonts are all too close together. They're weird fucking colours. He uses a shit font.
Does he?
Oh, it's fucking...
The photos are always at a weird angle as well.
It's not so much that. It's the fucking use of typography and how close they are together.
Like a gin o'clock, like mum, sort of.
No, it's...
Congratulations, mate! 3 exclamation marks, and then the next bit of fucking...
It's in Comic Sans.
Yeah, no, there's some Comic Sans amongst it.
Show me one. This would be no surprise. Show me one.
He's done it.
And that's a good one, because he's used the happy birthday thing.
It's a picture of him and one of his fucking... I know it's not one of his fucking boring offspring.
It's one of his mates.
One of his mates, fucking Chrissy or someone. Happy birthday in yellow on like a grey...
But you can barely see.
With like cursive font.
There's a classic. A classic Beckham, this one, yeah. Happy birthday, mate, in blue on the photo. And then the... In red, very close. The only colours he knows are blue or red.
Yeah.
He'll have like one that's been shot professionally because he's on an espresso shoot. And then you see the close up of his fucking fizzog and what he's had done to it.
Oh yeah.
He's like, he must have had 7 layers shaved off it. He's had the same thing as Simon Cowell.
For once he's not looking good. As before.
Yeah, now he looks like a walking corpse, mate.
He looks like a cat.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Yes.
He looks like one of those he looks like one of those hairless cats.
Exactly.
He does.
One of those hairless cats with some spray on stubble. Anyway, this has been reminding you why you love football. I've been Owen Blackhurst, he's been Assad Raza, he's been Tommy Stewart, and he's been Seb White looking around Somerset for G-strings, G-thangs, talking about the Gloucester spot
and gimps.
Ed in the control room, he's now here full time.
Yes.
And we like that very, very much.
We do.
I respect.
Mundial's got an issue out at all times. Go and buy it, go and subscribe. Rumours of our death have been greatly exaggerated. If you've seen a video of me begging on the streets of London, it was all meant in jest. We are all right, we are still here. We are going from strength to strength. Keep rating, keep reading, keep sharing, keep listening,
keep fucking telling
us what you like and what you don't like. It means a lot. We're back.
Very much so.
We never went away. Apart from, I thought two Christmas specials was a bit too much as well, but Tommy and Seb are lazy cunts, so. See ya!
They were.
Reminding you why you love football is a Monday Al and Football co-production. Produced by Tommy Stewart and Seb White, hosted by me, Owen Blackhurst, and recorded on the run.